Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Good evening, my friends, and welcome. This weekend, day after tomorrow, actually late tomorrow, like in the morning, it'll be day after tomorrow. Daylight savings time is starting up, so before you go to bed tomorrow night, after you listen to Black by Color Only, change your clocks, spring forward, and next week we will be actually 1 hour earlier, even though at the same time. The things that got rid of the Roman Empire are being done here in America. We have not learned from history, and instead of looking to history for what we need to learn and what we need to know from it, we are allowing the woke leftists in our nation, which also includes Biden, by the way, to destroy our past as racist and wrong, when it is what made America great and made us the great nation that we have been. Sure, this includes slavery, but the thing that nobody talks about is that during the time that slavery happened here, it was all over the world. Everybody had slavery. Blacks had slavery. They enslaved themselves. So this idea that America is the only one that is wrong when it comes to slavery is completely wrong. America is the one that got rid of it. And I remember back in the 70s and the 80s, I had black friends that were every bit as equal as me. And I never looked down on them because they were great people. They probably still are. But the blacks that are growing up today are being led and taught that the only way to go is to be part of the victim mentality. Then we have a president. This quote that I'm going to read you now comes from Fyodor Dostoevsky. You may not have ever heard of him, but what he said is really relevant, and it talks exactly of Biden and what he's doing to this nation. It says, a man who lies to himself and believes his own lies becomes unable to recognize the truth, either in himself or in anyone else, and he ends up losing respect for himself and for others. When he has no respect for anyone, he can no longer love. And in order to divert himself, having no love in him, he yields to his impulses, indulges in the lowest forms of pleasure, and behaves in the end like an animal. And it all comes from lying to others and lying to yourself. My friends, one of the things that is going on in this nation today is we have the woke community, woke politicians, woke people who decide that if things don't go their way, they've got to protest. And their idea of protest is not the Constitution's idea of protest. Yes, you have the right to protest. That's given to you by the Constitution. But when your protests become violent, that is where your rights end and anarchy begins. And this is exactly what Antifa, Black Lives Matter, did a couple summers ago when we had the so-called summer of love that Lori Lightfoot talked about. When cities were being burned down, people were being killed just because of the color of their skin. This is something that I thought we were beyond. This is something that I thought we were totally beyond, because when I grew up, my black friends were every bit as great as my Chicano friends, my Chicano friends were every bit as great as my white friends. The girls that I knew were every bit as great as everyone else. There was no color involved, even though there was. I mean, Skipper, who was one of my best friends, a black kid, he's about my age now, but him and I used to do all kinds of things together. We didn't worry about being seen with each other in public because he was black and I was white. We didn't worry about what other people thought. We didn't care. We were friends and that was all there was to it. Anymore, you cannot do that. Anymore, you do that kind of thing and you're either somebody who is pushing for acceptance in a community that doesn't care about racial stuff in this nation, just wants to cause the racial divide. I was going to try and do a 3-hour show tonight, but I'm going to stick with my 2 hours because there are all kinds of things going on this weekend and things that's happening here in Albuquerque. And there are all kinds of things that I have to do. We have to clean out this office or this studio that I have going here. And the reason for it is because living in an apartment, I get my carpets cleaned once a year, free of charge. Of course, I'm essentially paying for it because I'm paying for my rent, but it's part of my lease. And it's coming up on the time I need to get this done. So hopefully next week it'll be done and I'll have everything back to the way it is right now and everything will work out fine. But if I'm not here next week, that is probably the reason why. But wish to thank everybody for being here tonight. We are, I just noticed something. I've got something here that I'm trying to figure out. I loaded up my studio before this show started. There it is. And I had looked at it, thought it was fine, but I had missed something. I just got it back to where it should be. But welcome to the show, and we will be back after our intro. Thank you for being here.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll be right back. Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
We are back. One of the things that I've been talking about lately is the Marxist socialist ideals that have been forced on us. And I've been finding a lot of stuff about the evils of Marxism from Hillsdale College. And right now they're in the process of offering a course on the Constitution. They call it Constitution 101, and you can get it by going to, I think, learningfromhillsdalecollege.org and signing up for it. They're completely free, and they're a good way to learn the things about America that the left and a lot of the people on the right have been trying their darndest to help make us forget. You know, we see our things like statues of people from our past being toppled, including the statue of George Washington. And it's all done by the woke crowd who wants to destroy our past, make sure that we don't know what it is. And they've really gotten to the point where they're succeeding on this wildly. And we can see it in all the crowds that run around this nation and torch things and burn police cars and fight against the police and fight against people who don't agree with them. And it's all a Marxist ideal that pretty much says that if you're a Marxist, everything's hunky-dory, you're perfectly fine. But essentially what it is, it's saying that if you're Marxist, you're okay. If you're not, you got to be gotten rid of. And that's how they work it. From Hillsdale College, they have a book that came out that was called Marx and the False Communist Promise. And it was written by David Azarod, who is an associate professor of politics at Hillsdale College's Graduate School of Government. And he wrote in this that in 1978, Princeton University's Robert Tucker began his preface of the Marx Engels Reader, which, by the way, if you're interested in learning more about Marx, that is the book I would recommend. It gives you a good sampling of all their writings. In any case, Tucker opens his preface by writing, "A knowledge of the writings of Marx and Engels is virtually indispensable to an educated person in our time. Whatever his political position or social philosophy, no other intellectual influence has so powerfully shaped the mind of modern left-wing radicalism in most parts of the world." Now, he wrote this in 1978, years before the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of the Cold War. I think today, such a claim is questionable. I mean, communism, after all, is pretty much dead. 100 million people perished in 20th century in various failed attempts to build a communist utopia, and pretty much consigned the ideology of the ash heap to the ash heap of history. Today in the world, there remains five nominally communist countries, and each and every one of them testifies to the failures of Marxism, either because they're poor and authoritarian, like Cuba and Laos, or they're poor and totalitarian, like North Korea, or they've abandoned Marxist economics, like Vietnam and China. As for left-wing radicalism, it remains alive and well in the West, but it has really moved beyond the Marxist focus on class and is instead obsessed with race, gender, sexual orientation, and now, of course, gender identity. In fact, the left and the West have really turned their backs on the working class and see in the working class that there are a lot of privileged white men. So why then should we study Marx in the 21st century? I would offer three brief reasons. The first is, I really don't think you can understand the 20th century if you haven't read Marx. Think of the enormously important historical events that need to be understood through the Marxist lens: the Russian Revolution, the Chinese Revolution, and then the Global Cold War, which spanned the whole planet from Afghanistan to Angola and lasted almost half of the 20th century. You also need to remember what a powerful spell communism cast on individuals across the world. Raymour Aron, the French intellectual who wrote a book called The Opiate of the Intellectuals, he was rifling on Marx's famous line that religion is the opiate of the masses, as his rejoinder was, yeah, and communism is the opiate of the intellectuals. The second reason is to study Marx is, while it is true that orthodox Marxist communism is largely dead, we still feel Marx's legacy. You could say that there's a modified Marxism that is all around us in identity politics, post-structuralism, and feminism. Across the humanities and social sciences, you see Marx's legacy. All operate under the assumption that not just this society, but all societies are conspiracies by a group of oppressors to keep down the oppressed. Now it is true, as I mentioned, that these terms have been redefined. The oppressors are no longer just the wealthy. They're now straight white men. And the oppressed are now defined as identitarian in identitarian categories. But the cornerstone of the Marxist worldview, this denial that there is any such thing as a common political good, and that all of this has an imperative to rip the veil, removing the comforting illusions that have us believe such things exist, still remains. The third and last reason for studying Marx is that the Marxist critique of capitalism continues to attract followers and to resonate with many people, even though they're not willing to embrace Marx's prescriptions for how to transform capitalism. So right here in the U.S., we have the Democratic Socialists of America, Bernie Sanders, Jacobin Magazine, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, etc. And then in Europe, there's Thomas Piketty, the French economist, and whose words, in particular, Capital in the 21st Century, one finds strong echoes of Marx's critique of capitalism. So that's why I think it's still important to study him. Now, a little bit about his life. Marx was born in 1818 in the city of Trier in Prussia, which is now Germany. It's near the border with Luxembourg. If you want to read the full details about his life, you can go to Wikipedia, which I don't go to very often because a lot of the things that it'll tell are not really true unless it's something on like Marx or something like that. For our purposes, to understand his political thinking, there are really two periods that matter. The first period begins in 1835, when he begins to study at the University of Bonn in Germany and lasts until 1846. This is when he completes his intellectual development. So he begins his studies at the University of Bonn and then goes to the University of Berlin, and he eventually obtains a PhD at the University of Jena. There he discovers German idealism and the philosophy of Hegel, and that changes his life. The first key thing you need to learn and understand about Marx is that he developed an entire theory to the proletariat without having ever set foot on the floor of a factory. And this, to me, folks, is real important to know. You know, most of your people who believe in this stuff have been on the floor of a factory, and they know what the people who work there espouse. Let's see, I lost where I was at here. Okay. His point is this. I think it's important from the outset to dispel the myth that Marxism arises in response to the actual conditions of workers in the 19th century. It doesn't. It arises as a critique of the German philosophy. Kolowski's massive work on Marxism, The Main Currents of Marxism, opens with the sentence, "Karl Marx was a German philosopher." At his point in this, it sounds obvious, but it's actually key to understanding him. The starting point is German philosophy, and this is what he studies and immerses himself in this first period of his life, which ends about 1846. So basically, by the age of 28, his intellectual development is complete. The only other real important thing to mention about his first part of his life is that in 1842, in Cologne, he met Frederick Engels, which began a lifelong friendship and collaboration between the two. Eventually, he moved to Paris and then Brussels, and then he settled with his family in London in 1849. And there he devotes the rest of his life. You could say this is the second part of his intellectual development, to his detailed economic work. So the first part is the philosophical system. The second part is the detailed economic work. And there, the highlight is really the publication of Das Kapital, the first volume of Capital written in 1867. It's a massive work. It's 1,000 pages long. It's a comprehensive critique of what he claims are the fundamental contradictions of capitalism that necessitate the transition to socialism. He died before he could publish the remainder of the work, but then Engels, working off his quotes, published volumes 2 and 3. It's worth noting that up until 1950, it was the most cited work in social sciences. And hello, Duck Northwest, see you there. Glad to see you there. Marx died in 1883 in London, and Engels delivered the eulogy by his graveside in which he said, "Marx was before all else a revolutionist. Fighting was his element." I think the question we therefore begin with is a revolutionist to achieve what? A revolution against what? On behalf of what? The starting point for Marx, I think, is to realize that he begins where we usually end. Now, what do I mean by that? We good citizens of democracies usually think of liberal democracy as the highest form of government, that it's the only just form of government. Marx thinks, however, that it is a terrible form of government riddled with internal contradictions and then it must necessarily go away. So what do I mean by liberal democracy? I mean, you could think of classical liberalism. You could think of the philosophy of John Locke. You could think of the underlying philosophy of the American founding. I basically mean a political regime that has the separation of church and state, the rule of law, government by consent, and then, of course, free markets, which is compatible with some redistribution. You can have a welfare state and some regulations, but the idea is that we have markets. Starting point for Marx, as I said, comes out in his essay on the Jewish question in his critique of liberal democracy, or what he calls political emancipation. Marx begins by looking at how liberal democracy deals with religion. Now, I think we know how it deals with religion. In a liberal democracy, citizenship is detached from religion. Everyone must be an American, and then in your private life, you can be a Catholic, a Mormon, a Buddhist, a Jew, a Muslim, or an atheist. We have separation of church and state, and we have religious liberty. Religion is no longer a concern of the state, and that's the way it should be. The government, the state, is not in the business of saving souls. Those of us who live in the liberal democracy are quite proud of this because we think that this is a wonderful revolution to religious conflict. We no longer need to go to war over religion. We can just choose to worship our own ways and we can all agree to be citizens. Marx thinks that this arrangement is terrible. Why? He says because it doesn't abolish religion. Religion continues to exist, and for Marx, the mere existence of religion, even privatized religion, is a defect. Why is that? He explains it in the first couple of pages of the Contribution to the Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. He says that the criticism of religion for him has largely been completed in Germany at the time, and that it is the premise of all criticism. So Marx, you see, is not developing his own comprehensive refutation of religion. He's building on the works of others. What you have in Marx, this is one important thing I want to point out, is the rejection of religion is not a refutation of religion. And therefore, at the deepest levels, Marx is not a philosopher. Why? Because he doesn't confront the fundamental alternatives to his way of thinking. He simply dismisses it offhand. Now, he does have reasons for doing so, but he doesn't seriously engage in the claims of revelation of religion. He offers us two critiques of revolution, religion, Marx 53 and 54. I'm using the pagination of the Marx Engels reader. There is a philosophical critique and political critique. The philosophical critique is that religion is a form of self-alienation, that human beings create gods and they end up believing in these gods and falling under the spell of their own creations. Therefore, what Marx wants men to do is to recognize that we are the ultimate creators, and he wants us to reappropriate our gods, to take them back. He wants man to recognize that ultimately there is nothing above or beyond him. This is what Marx means by human emancipation. So liberal democracy only promises political emancipation. Marx promises human emancipation. He wants man to revolve around himself as his own true son. That's from Marx 54. He preaches the doctrine that man is the supreme being for man. Marx 60. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I guess, Solzhenitsyn, the great Russian thinker of the 20th century and great dissident and critic of communism, would later call this anthropensitry. The doctrine is nothing above and nothing and beyond nothing. This is what Marx wants, and therefore, philosophically, religion is problematic. this book that I got about this is real interesting, and it's like about 20 pages long. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can get it at HillsdaleCollege.com or .org, I think it is. But we will be right back after these messages.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio.
Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017 at gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. Call in number 646-478-5284. Colin Kaepernick has now essentially decided that he's a victim no matter what, and he has now gone against his adoptive parents as being not always supportive. Now, the thing that really bothers me about this is one of the things that he was saying about this was that because of race, they did not always agree with him. They did not like his style of hairstyle. Well, does that mean that because my dad didn't like my style of race hairstyle when I was growing up, that I could now say, oh, that was a racist part of my life? No. That was a learning part of my life. And only a victim, only a person who considers himself a victim would think that of his parents, unless it was actually happening. But being told that by your father that he doesn't like your style of hair is not racist by any means. I think I don't know of many kids that have not had the parents tell them that at one point of time or another. I know mine did. My dad always said I kept my hair too long. But Colin Kaepernick criticizes white adoptive parents in an interview this week, claiming that his problematic upbringing led to incidences of racism in his household. Now, I don't believe 99% of the stuff that comes out of this man's mouth, but this embattled former NFL quarterback turned socialist justice advocate has been promoting a new graphic novel, and I hope it doesn't sell, entitled Change the Game. According to the New York Post, the graphic novel tells the story of Kaepernick's journey from high school and college to the NFL and centers around the Wisconsin native's lack of choice in his future. To me, it seems like the ones who decide that they had such a lack of choice when growing up, they're the ones who seem to do all right, with the exception that they think of themselves as a victim. He's rich. He's got money, more money than I'll probably ever have. But in that aspect, I'm kind of glad that I don't have that money. I don't want to be the kind of person that that money turned him into. So as one example, Kaepernick claims that his parents tried to steer him in a direction they thought was best. What parent doesn't? He says that this led to several fights with their adopted son. Kaepernick told CBS Chicago, quote, "I know my parents loved me, but there were still very problematic things that I went through. It was important to show that. No, this can happen in your own home, and how we move forward collectively while addressing that the racism that is being perpetuated," unquote. Another example covered Kaepernick supposedly having disagreements over his hairstyle, like I told you. Specifically, his parents pushing back against Colin wanting to embrace his blackness by wearing cornrows in tribute to his idol, Hall of Fame basketball player Allen Iverson. He's getting what roles, his mother Teresa was cited as saying in the book. Teresa Kaepernick allegedly then told her son, "Oh, your hair's not professional. You look like a little thug." These are things that I think most parents would say, especially if they wanted their son to succeed in a professional manner. You don't want to look like a thug. You don't want to look like a hippie, as my dad always called me. But that argument from many years ago shaped Kaepernick's current attitude toward hairstyle. He told CBS Chicago, quote, "It also is informed why I have long hair today," unquote. Kaepernick was a five-year starter for San Francisco 49ers from 2012 to 2016, compiling a 28-30 overall record during that span. In the division, during the 2012 NFL playoffs, however, Kaepernick caught fire. In the division playoff round against the Green Bay Packers, Kaepernick set the single game league record for most rushing yards by a quarterback, or 181 yards. He later guided the upstart 49ers to a berth in Super Bowl 27, I think it is, or with San Francisco, falling just short in a 34-31 loss to the Baltimore Ravens. A few years later, Kaepernick generated worldwide headlines by refusing to stand for the national anthem. His kneel down was copied by many NFL players for a short period of time. Since then, Kaepernick has become a celebrated figure by some for social justice, perhaps at the expense of his NFL career getting cut short by a few years. Now, Kaepernick seems to think that when things go against him, when things don't go the way he wants them to go, then it's because of race. And that isn't always the truth of the matter. You know, there's been many times that I've wanted to do things, things didn't go my way, and I had to figure out another way to go about it. Doing a radio show, even just on the internet or being on a regular radio, was not something that I ever thought I wanted to do. Not something I ever really went after until it happened. My career in printing was coming to an end because printing had just so totally changed from 2001 on that it was hard to find work in the field unless you went freelance and started doing stuff out of your own home, which I did. But you, unless you're really, 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 really good at what you do and have great equipment to be able to put out the ideas that you have, you can't really make good money doing that. Me, I was real good at it, but I just didn't have the equipment. I had my Mac computer, which I essentially still use it for this show now. I had an Epson printer, which I used to print out the business cards that I designed or the invoices that I designed. It wasn't like a printing press that could throw out 20 copies in 45 seconds. It just wasn't that. It was a lot slower. So I just couldn't take jobs that were like 10,000 copies of something and expect to be able to do it in a timely manner, because I couldn't, because I just didn't have the equipment. But that didn't stop me. That didn't cause me to stop and say, well, it's because of racism that this isn't working, or it's because of racism that I can't do what I want to do for my life. I figured out a new way to do things and figured out a new way to do what I wanted to do, changing my ideas along the way. And now that I've retired and I'm doing this, this pretty much takes up my time. And I enjoy the heck out of doing this. To me, it's always been kind of a pleasure. Going all the way back to my printing days of being able to find a job that I thoroughly enjoyed that I could make money at. Right now, we're still in the process of trying to figure out how to get more shows on this network so that we can start making money as an entity, which we are not doing yet. But before the original owners of Conservative Nation Media decided to call it quits, they were right there at that point. They were in the process. They were getting ready to, they were real close to breaking even, which is what you need to do in order to make a business thrive. You have to be able to break even first. And that's pretty much where this whole thing is at this point. We're not breaking even, but we're still trying. And all of our advertisements that we do, I do them myself. So it cuts down on our costs. And I am in the process now of trying to go out and getting more advertisements for us, which would be the backbone of making money in this business. But it's something that we continue to try to push, because this kind of network, putting out the news that the left and the mainstream lying liberal media doesn't want to give you, and the ones that are also trying to knock out things like One America News, which they did last year, took them off of DirecTV. And this year in January, they took off Newsmax. Thankfully, I still get both because I don't have DirecTV. I won't have it. But this kind of network is the kind that can disappear in this climate that we have in America today, because we do not agree with the left. We do not agree with what the left is doing to this nation. And one of the things that I was looking at today came from Western Journal, and it was from Laura Ingram, who declares that we have a hologram for a president. And I've always thought he was useless. He's been in our government for over 50 years now and has really never accomplished much of anything. But what she said in this one, it says, Laura Ingram delivers a speech on the third day of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio on July 20th of 2016. And that was the picture that was at the top of it. It says, during the 2020 campaign, when Joe Biden wasn't just hiding in his basement to get away from COVID and or reporters, more the latter than the former probably, his message seemed to be the same as many candidates have used successfully in turbulent times, a return to normalcy. This continued after the campaign was over, with Biden infamously promising the American people that there would be a return to normalcy by July 4th, 2021. Didn't happen. Just as soon as everyone got vaccinated, of course, he promised a return to normalcy from the threat of democracy the Republicans posed. He promised a bridge back to calmer times, the times before President Donald Trump. There were a few problems with this, however, and it wasn't just that return to normalcy that could be read as a return to the Obama era. As Laura Ingram noted on her Fox News show, that it's impossible to get back to any semblance of normalcy when we have a hologram for a president who has given over the reins of government to his party's left flank. Ingram's focus during the Wednesday show is what she called the great unraveling of America. The ruling class in Washington, it's a flat spin, Ingram said. It's been more than 2 years now since Biden took power, and yet they have no success stories to tell. Americans are getting poorer, and China is getting stronger. The economic outlook, we know that's bleak. And we have a hologram for a president with a cabinet filled with people that you wouldn't hire to tutor your fourth grader in math. And look at the murderer's row of White House officials Biden has brought to us in that return to normalcy. First, there's White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, who mistakenly called President Biden President Obama. To be fair, she might not have been far off on that one. Then there is the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. We've seen planes, trains, and automobiles. Buttigieg is telling a reporter in 2021, but that's about bikes, scooters, but what about bikes, scooters, and wheelchairs? Alas, John Hughes didn't live long enough to write and direct that sequel. I can only assume that it would involve Steve Martin and John Candy stranded in Washington, D.C. after a Norfolk Southern train derailed in Ohio, spilling toxic chemicals through a series of zany misadventures. It would take the two men from February 3rd to February 20th to get to the site of the wreck on, you guessed it, bikes, scooters, and wheelchairs. Ferris Bueller's day off, it isn't. And then there was Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm head of the Space Council. I love space. Then Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. I'm not sure what our division of responsibilities is, the maven of transitory inflation told Congress, and on, but you get the picture. But as Ingram noted, don't count on the media to hold any of these people truly accountable. A seething hatred of Republicans, Trump, his voters, it drove them to take the most extreme positions and to completely abandon their role as objective checks on power. And there you have it, the return to normalcy. It hasn't come because it would never come. Joe Biden is a hologram with hair plugs. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the new normal. But Kamala Harris was supposed to come in and save the day, right? We all know that Biden was a placeholder once Trump was vanquished. He would hand the baton over to a younger, sharper generation. Oh, well, there's always Buttigieg, right? This is the troika of Democratic presidential hopefuls that can't effectively handle, in reverse order, one, a question from the Daily Caller reporter, two, a question from Lester Holt, and three, the English language. And if the rest of the cabinet was any better, trust me, they'd be getting more FaceTime than these three clowns. Our enemies believe our leadership is a joke, and they may not be wrong. Americans are still suffering under historic inflation rises. The recession looms just over the horizon. Forget normalcy. The rest of us would simply settle for a lack of abject panic and constant unraveling at this point. And they keep telling us that our unemployment is at 3.7%. They were saying 3.4. And what we have to realize here, folks, is that it's nowhere near that. If they really counted the people out of work who would like to work, I guarantee you it would be closer to 17%. But because the government has so many ways to spin a tale, they look at it in a different way than we do. I'm unemployed myself. My wife right now is unemployed, but neither one of us are included in the unemployed ranks because neither one of us are taking unemployment, for one thing. Neither one of us are on benefits from the government, for another. Neither one of us are looking actively for work. Well, my wife is, but she's doing that all on her own. She's going out and filling out applications online. She's not going to places like Snelling and Snelling or these places that will find you a job that have to report to the government. She's doing all this on her own, so she probably isn't listed as unemployed. She is. There's about eight people in this building that I live in right now that are unemployed, but the government doesn't think they are because they are not getting unemployment. They are not getting government assistance. So the government doesn't consider them unemployed. And that's the way that most of this is. They figure out ways to look at this and say, oh, they're not unemployed. They're not doing the things unemployed people do, like filing for unemployment insurance. And because of that, that means they're not unemployed. That's how the government is working this whole thing right now. 3.7%? I don't think so. It's a hell of a lot higher than that. And we have to start realizing that what the government is telling us is not the truth. Biden keeps telling us that we have such a high rate of our economy is doing well. He keeps saying that everything is really just going great guns for the American people when the American people are struggling to survive. Everything has gone up in price by not just a little, but a whole hell of a lot. Gasoline here, like I said, when Biden took office, just before he took office, was $1.49 a gallon you could get it for here in Albuquerque. Now you're lucky if you can find it for $3.50. And it just went up, by the way. But of course, the Biden administration isn't telling you anything about this one. All he's talking about is how it's come down. Of course it came down. It used to be almost $5 a gallon. And until it hits $5 a gallon again, it's coming down, according to him. We are coming up on the top of the hour. And what we are in the process of doing now is getting ready for the second hour. So I will start those things right now, and then we'll get back with the second hour. And I want to start it with some things that I caught off of the Dan Bongino show this week, where he was talking about the three scandals that Biden is now involved in and why they didn't need to be scandals he's involved in, but because they covered up instead of telling people what was going on. They're scandals. And on top of that, there's a doctor who's saying that everything he did and everything that Fauci did was wrong. We'll be right back.
We will be right back with more of NWCR's Truth Festival. Stay tuned.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins. Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you. Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Hanner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back. One of the things that I wanted to do in the second half of the first hour was what I'm going to be doing now. I got involved in something that I hadn't even planned on doing, but it turned out okay, I guess. But what we have got going in our in Congress right now is a hearing on COVID, the origins of COVID, and the things that are going on with that. And I found a couple of sound bites that were from the Dan Bongino show the other day that really caught my attention. It was really good to listen to because he had clips of Dr. Redfield, who spoke to Congress, and the things that are going on. This first one that I had was of him talking about the three scandals that Biden has found himself involved in.
Oh, what a tangled web they've weaved.
Sir. Joe got the show prep emails this morning. He knows exactly where I'm going with this one. So these three major scandals are erupting on the same day. They all share one common thread. The common thread is this. The scandals have become scandals because of not necessarily the incident, but the cover-up. What are they? Don't bury the lead, brother. Of course, get right to it. The January 6th cover-up, the COVID lab leak, and Joe Biden being a foreign agent, which may be uncovered by his classified documents. Now, those things had troubling components. The January 6th incident, a lot of things we would have changed about that. COVID, which led to millions of deaths, Biden potentially being a foreign agent. But what we're finding out is if you just would have been honest about these things from the start, a lot of these things we could have sought to fix, repair, make some moves, digest them, process them. But no, they decided to cover them up. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a hearing up on Capitol Hill yesterday. Did you catch it? Did you catch at least pieces of it on the COVID lab leak, which appears no longer to be a hypothesis, seems now to be, by any reasonable measure, beyond any reasonable doubt, the lab leak is where this thing came from, the Wuhan coronavirus. Doesn't seem to be any question left anymore. The hearing yesterday was just incredible. I was glued to it online. And one of the things I'd like to say about it first, before we get to the inner workings of the what happened at the COVID lab leak and what was exposed yesterday at the hearing, is there's an author, Fred Siegel. He has a number of books out there, but he has this thing called the Iron Triangle. Don't ever forget this. It's one of the ways liberals, Democrats and liberals, for years have advanced a narrative. In other words, told you a story instead of the story. They have this thing called the Iron Triangle. It's congressional committees, the media, and activist groups. They all feed off each other. Leftist activist groups push congressional committees for hearings. The hearings get on TV, like you saw yesterday with the COVID hearings. The media then pushes the narrative. The media then pushes the activist groups for more coverage of the topic. The activist groups push more media for more coverage of the topic. The activist groups raise money, push congressional committees for more hearing. You get it? The Iron Triangle?
Yeah.
I'm proud to say that Joe and I have talked about this for years.
Well, we covered it years ago.
Yeah, I think like 7 years ago or so when I first came across this concept. Because it's so brilliantly summed up in the Iron Triangle. It finally, Republicans up on Capitol Hill are starting to develop, whether they're doing it intentionally or not, some idea of how to use the Iron Triangle themselves. Conservatives, we push them to uncover the truth. They get a congressional committee together. Conservative media covers it. Liberal media ignores scandals, of course, because they involve Democrats most of the time. So let's get through what was so scandalous about this COVID leak. Remember, we're going to cover three scandals today. Remember, I want you to remember, keep this thread in mind. The cover-up on all three of these, Jan 6th, Biden classified documents, and the COVID lab leak. It is the cover-up that is by far keeping this thing in the media. They could have just come out with this right away. So.
Now, what he was saying there is, you know, if the media had just shut up about this, about all three of them, actually, instead of trying to cover it up and the left trying to cover all this thing stuff up and just shut up about it, it would have probably disappeared a long damn time ago. But that hasn't happened. The news that it came out of the Wuhan lab got a lot of us knocked off the air. Got a lot of us kicked off of YouTube. Got a lot of us kicked off of Twitter and Facebook. But we still persevered. And that was something that the liberal left just couldn't understand. They didn't understand people actually standing up for principles that they knew were right because they never had before. Well, they had, but it didn't last long. But in this second clip that I found here, actually has a little bit more from Dan Bongino, but it has this Dr. Redford, who was speaking in front of the congressional meetings, telling exactly why this should never have happened and why everything that was going on was wrong. And here's that second clip.
I should remember, keep this thread in mind, the cover-up on all three of these, Jan 6th, Biden classified documents, and the COVID lab leak. It is the cover-up that is by far keeping this thing in the media. They could have just come out with this right away. So, Dr. Robert Redfield, who was only, as you said, the head of the CDC, only, fellas, no big deal, just the head of the Centers for Disease Control, which is kind of a big deal. He went up and testified yesterday at this lab leak hearing, and he makes it pretty crystal clear at this point that these three suspicious things happened around the time of the lab leak. Now, I want you to listen to these three things that indicated to him that this was a lab leak, and tell me how, if you're not a juror in a court of law, even in a beyond a reasonable doubt hearing, that after hearing these three things, you wouldn't convict the Chinese Wuhan lab of a lab leak. Here, listen to this.
It's declassified now, and I'm sure you'll all have your classified briefings, but the declassified information now, in September of 2019, three things happened in that lab. One is they deleted the sequences. It was highly irregular. So researchers don't usually like to do that. Second thing they did was they changed the command and control of the lab from the civilian control to the military control. Highly unusual, and I've been involved in dual-use labs when I was in the military. And the third thing they did, which I think is really telling, is they let a contractor redo the ventilation system in that laboratory. So I think clearly there was strong evidence that there was a significant event that happened in that laboratory in September. It's now been declassified. You can read it.
And all three of those things that he was talking about were things that they normally don't do. Why would they get rid of the gene sequence? This goes completely against the normal things that immunologists do. They keep these things. They want to know the sequence of it so they can figure out a way to stop it. But no, these guys were trying to gain a function it. But they got rid of the sequence so they couldn't go back and say, oh, this is why this is doing this way. They got rid of the sequence. Then they changed over from private ownership to military, which right there you automatically think, you know, in China, there's something big going on here. And then they brought in these contractors to redo the filtration system in the lab. Something had to have happened. But this whole thing that is going on in Wuhan, and some of us were actually back then saying, yes, this is what is going on. It came from the Wuhan Institute, not the wet market where they were saying it came from. And then there were people like me who got knocked off of Twitter, got knocked off of Facebook for a short amount of time because of this. I got completely removed from YouTube because I talked about, excuse me, how masks didn't work. Because a virus is so much smaller than the weave of the mask. It can go right on through. It's not protecting anybody from anything. But people who brought this stuff up during this time were told, oh, you're wrong. We have to silence you because of that. But he goes on for this.
It's why I love I wouldn't insult you to the libs. Can you just be serious for a moment and take your diapers off and stop being morons all the time? So you've got a Wuhan a virus that is being studied, coronaviruses, bat coronaviruses, in a lab in Wuhan, China, where around September of that year, you see an eruption of cases of a coronavirus infection where they're studying the thing, the actual coronavirus. You then find out that the gene sequence of the virus was deleted from a database. Why would you do that? Then you find out control of the lab was turned over to the military. The military, they have any special expertise? Wait a second on that. And then you find out that they swap out the air handling system. What reasonable person at this point is suggesting that, oh, no, this is definitely natural origin? The answer is no one. You're a moron if you believe that. I've got even more, of course. Remember this article from May of 2021? Folks, none of this is new. Again, we live with Soviet loser a-holes in our media and elsewhere who were dying to keep from you the origins of the COVID virus in the Wuhan lab. Why? Because they had to beat Donald Trump. Donald Trump, who told you this thing came from the Wuhan lab. Wall Street Journal. Remember, this is 2021, this article. Intelligence on sick staff at Wuhan lab fuels debate on COVID-19 origin. There's no debate. Three researchers from the Chinese Wuhan Institute of Virology became sick enough in November of 2019 that they sought hospital care. Weird, Joe, because we were told the first cases we saw, keep that up if you would, were in January of 2020 at the Wuhan wet market. So that's really strange that intelligence reports found out that earlier than that, November 2019, that's before 2020, yes, it is, that according to previously undisclosed U.S. intelligence reports could add weight to growing calls for a fuller probe of whether the virus may have escaped from the laboratory. May?
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
What is she doing back there? The answer is creating a super virus.
Yeah, the thing that he had up on his screen was from the Wall Street Journal, and it said intelligence on sick staff at Wuhan lab fuels debate on COVID-19 origin. And it was written by Michael R. Gordon, Warren P. Strobel, and Drew Hinshaw on May 23rd of 2021. It says three researchers from China's Wuhan Institute of Virology became sick enough in November 2019 that they sought hospital care, according to a previously undisclosed U.S. intelligence report that could add weight to the growing calls for a fuller probe of whether the COVID-19 virus may have escaped from the laboratory. Well, I'm saying right now that no, it may not have. It did. And they're trying to cover their butts over this whole thing, trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Good to see you there, Sarge. I had one more that I wanted to play you because it was Dr. Redfield again talking about what is going on. And this is in front of Congress again now.
Am I missing something? Is this not obvious at this point? Researchers become sick in a Wuhan lab studying coronaviruses in November of 2019. Chinese government lies, says it came from a wet market in 2020. Chinese government changes out air handling system in Wuhan lab. Dumps civilian control to military control. Deletes the gene sequences. Gee, I don't know. Where'd it come from? He's laughing like, what kind of an imbecile still believes this? The answer is Stephen Colbert. He said it right, Joe. It's like a spy novel for morons. This is like a Jason Bourne script that got laughed at by Script Shark or whatever. That's a company you send your scripts out to, right? They looked at it, they're like, what a bunch of morons. Like, who believed this stupid? This is so dumb. Folks, the story gets worse. Here's Dr. Redfield again. I'm telling you, I don't think I'm overselling it, because I hate that. Suggesting that the information that came out was explosive. Notice I didn't say new. I didn't say new. I said explosive. That's why I brought up the Iron Triangle. I don't bring up anything by accident. Liberals rarely bring up new information about anything. What they do is they use the media, activist groups, and congressional committees to bring up old information they find useful to enter it into the media cycle so the public will focus on it. The lab leak theory is never penetrated because liberal media people have hit it. So Republicans figured out, okay, let's do a committee hearing. No, seriously, good job. Well done. Here's Dr. Redfield talking about another component of this, which just annihilates the natural origins theory. And he makes a comparison between SARS and MERS, two viruses we know made their way to humans, but never made human-to-human transmission like coronavirus. This is important. Listen to this.
Dr. Fauci's position, as those who thought a spillover took the position that it was most likely a spillover event because that's what happened with SARS and that's what happened with MERS, right? And I think it's important to look at, prior to 2012, we didn't really have another mechanism other than nature. We weren't doing gain-of-function research, right? I'm a clinical virologist. I tried to explain to Dr. Fauci, who's an immunologist, that this virus, SARS and MERS, when they infected a man from the intermediate host, civet cat in the case of SARS and a camel in the case of MERS, they never learned how to go human to human. So those original outbreaks were less than 1,000 people, and the epidemics died. And so when everyone thought this was SARS-like, well, it's going to die too. But this virus was immediately the most infectious virus, not the most, I think probably right behind measles, virus that we've ever seen infect man. So I immediately said, wait a second, this isn't natural. And then you go back and look at the literature and you find in 2014, this lab actually published a paper that they put the H2 receptor into humanized mice so it could infect human tissue. And then you learn that the new COVID, which came from bats, now can hardly replicate in bats.
Yeah.
So how does that happen?
Yeah. And that's where a lot of people really don't get what's going on. This supposedly came from bats. But now after everything that they've done to it, it will not infect bats. This is the gain of function that Fauci was always talking about. And it just really kind of blows me away that all of this was not even part of the narrative. They kept it silent. CNN wouldn't talk about it. They still don't. MSNBC wouldn't talk about it. NBC, ABC, CBS wouldn't talk about it. And the only places that you'd get anything that even touched on the subject, it was like Fox News, One America News that got knocked off of DirecTV last year, and Newsmax, which got knocked off in January. They're shutting down these voices of dissent that goes against them. And it just, I don't know. It just blows me away, some of the things that are going on. And then on top of that, one of the other meetings that's going on over at Congress right now is this thing where they're trying to target Elon Musk for his Twitter files. And I found a video the other day of this one congresswoman who was trying her darndest to get this reporter to give her the information she wanted. He wouldn't give it to her. And because he wouldn't give it to her, she kept asking it in a different way. And he was smart enough to realize what she was doing. And he would say, well, you're just asking it in a different way to trap me into admitting what you first wanted me to know. I will not tell you. And then Jim Jordan got involved in it and tried to shut her down because she was being told that she didn't have the right to do this. The First Amendment protected him, but she didn't want that to be done. But the Mike Huckabee wrote on this one. He said, before we get into the story of what the left is trying to do to Elon Musk for daring to expose the truth about Twitter, here's an update on the January 6th and Jacob Chansley. Chansley, alternatively dubbed the QAnon shaman, was sentenced to 4 years in prison simply for going into the Capitol building in a Viking helmet. Now we have all seen this video of him being escorted in by hospitable Capitol police officers who even opened the doors for him, peacefully entering the Senate chamber. But now he has been sentenced to 4 years in prison for that peaceful invasion of the Senate chamber. And he was led in by the Capitol City, by the Capitol Police. The video of this peaceful stroll that Tucker Carlson revealed on Monday was exculpatory to Chansley through January 6th prosecutors, though January 6th prosecutors had withheld it from the court as well as from his defense. Chansley's attorney, Albert Watkins, had never seen this evidence. He should have seen it until it was aired Monday, and he appeared on Tucker's show on Wednesday saying it was his job as Chansley's attorney to know everything good and bad that the government had before his client made the decision to go to trial or even take a plea. It's obvious now that the government knew Chansley was not violent, that he had simply walked around casually accompanied by 9 officers. He was carrying an American flag. Watkins had requested what video evidence was available, but I didn't get it, he said. What's happened is a dagger in the heart of the American justice system, he said. After this derailment of justice, Chansley should be released from prison immediately. The chances are he won't be. This innocent man also deserves restitution for his long time behind bars, and he and his lawyer will have to determine what form that should take. Carlson said on Wednesday, quote, we're living through one of those clarifying moments. We're learning exactly who the liars are. And the liars have nothing to fall back on but rage and, of course, more lies. And this video is a must-watch if you can find it. The Capitol Police have since responded. Some people just can't stop lying, even when the truth is right there for all of us to see. Mississippi Representative Benny Thompson, who chaired the January 6th Kangaroo Committee, and that was spelled with a K, actually disputed Carlson's claims that they deceptively edited security footage from that day when we absolutely know they did. And he apparently didn't even know that Chumsley had been sentenced to 4 years in prison. I don't know who he is, Thompson said. If ignorance is bliss, he must be supremely happy. Chris Bray, an American Greatness at American Greatness, reported that Capitol Police Chief Tom Manger tried to refute the video of Capitol officers escorting a peaceful Chansley around the building by claiming that they did that as a, quote, de-escalation tactic, unquote, because they were outnumbered by the rioters, which they weren't, and thought it would be prudent to engage him peacefully. Well, in the whole video, he was the only one that you could see, except for the police officers all around him. So, okay, that explains why they showed him around. But he's sitting in prison, in a prison cell, because he was convicted of violently attacking the building. The police chief's own explanation is an admission that the crime didn't happen. In fact, he's giving his officers credit for preventing it. So why is Chansley in a federal prison again? Bray makes a great point on this, that this is the only specific refutation of any of Carlson's claims by his critics. The left is railing furiously against him, calling him everything from Hitler, of course, to a demonic sycophant, Michael Steele on MSNBC, and claiming that by showing Americans the unedited video evidence, he'll be responsible for the next January 6th. And I've yet not a single one of them has even tried to factually refute any of his points that upend their narrative. And I think I've got Sarge on the phone. Hello there. You there? Okay, well, I'll just leave it there just in case. But it says, now on to Elon Musk, who ever since his personal assault on the public-private censorship that we find nothing less than heroic has been subjected to an all-out assault from the left. It is usually very easy to see. Are you there, Sarge?
Hey, buddy, what's going on, man? Oh, I'm glad you're talking about this.
Yeah, I just had to say something about this. They keep telling us that because he had this Viking helmet on and he was carrying the American flag that he was violent. Well, all the video shows is him walking around peacefully with them leading him through the building.
It's worse even than that, actually. Look, there is so much about this that is so wrong on so many levels. It's almost hard to figure out which is the most important to start with. First of all, there's the issue of entrapment. Now, there's entrapment that everybody knows about. That is, when a police officer or some law enforcement official or some informant working from the government, some agent working for law enforcement, induces someone to commit a crime that they would not have committed without the inducement. Now, everybody understands that form of entrapment. There's another form of entrapment called entrapment by estoppel, meaning that you rely upon a person in authority or a police officer who gives you information, and you can reasonably believe that information is accurate, and by doing so, you think in your mind, relying on that information from this official, that you have done nothing criminal or illegal. For instance, a cop pulls you over, he's got no probable cause or grounds to arrest you, so he decides, but he knows you probably got some marijuana on you. So he says, you know, they just passed a law last week, made marijuana legal in the state. So if you feel like you want to toke up, go ahead. It's all right with me. I wouldn't mind. And you toke up, and then he says, uses that as grounds. He pulls out his marijuana. We've got a stash in the car, underneath the console, wherever. Starts to light it up, and you arrest him on that. That's entrapment by estoppel. Okay. Now, here you got Chansley in the building, going through an open door, being escorted around the building by the police, passing numerous police officers. At one point there, you can see, you got a total of 7 police officers standing in our way, 1 guy. They could have easily arrested him at that point without much trouble, I'm certain. You know, even though he looked reasonably fit still, 7 cops, 1 guy, come on. They're going to arrest him, but they chose not to. They just walked him around. For a reasonable person, he would assume, well, since they're escorting me about the building and they're not trying to arrest me, it's okay for me to walk through the building, which is what he did. And there's another tape showing him in front of the Capitol building with a megaphone telling people to go home because President Trump has asked them to go home. They need to respect the Capitol. They need to respect the monuments. They need to respect the police. And we're not Antifa, he says. He says it all clearly on the video. This is this newly released video that the Department of Justice and the people prosecuting this man had a legal obligation under the Brady Principle, which means that the prosecutor is obligated legally, ethically, and every other way to provide exculpatory evidence to the defense. They don't have a choice. They are required to do it, and they didn't do it. Now, here's the problem for Jacob Chansley. My understanding is he had this utterly horrid lawyer who advised him to take a plea bargain that got him almost 4 years in the clink without being able to provide an appeal. 41 months in jail. He can't appeal according to the agreement, and now that is going to be enormously difficult to get his case reviewed and to get an appellate claim in because of this. If you ask me, it ought to be overturned on the basis of ineffective advice of counsel. This is so wrong on so many levels, it's hard to know where to begin. This man, at worst, and I don't even think you can get him on that, is guilty of trespass. Misdemeanor, trespass, nothing more. At worst, and that's a stretch, given the circumstances that we know of based upon these videos. It's just amazing, man.
Well, he was led in by the police, so they couldn't be trespassed.
Oh, they said it was. You know, like I said, entrapment by estoppel. I mean, hey, the cops let me in. They're the ones that have the power to keep people in and out, ain't they?
Mm-hmm.
They waved me into the building. What am I supposed to assume? I mean, this is just, man, these people are wicked. I mean, wicked. You know why they want to get this guy? Because they have deemed him to be the avatar of the insurrection. The one the mainstream media kept showing over and over and over again. Look at the face of these crazies. This guy, by the way, is a performance artist. You know, it was a lark for him. He's not an insurrectionist. What says a Navy veteran than a patriot? Apparently.
I don't know. It's sad.
It's just so wrong. It is just so wrong. And there's got to be a remedy for this. There has to be. I don't care what kind of plea deal he made. Because this is such an egregious offense against liberty, justice, and judicial procedure. And I know that guy, Royce Lambert, that federal judge that sentenced him, is a piece of dog dung. But somewhere there's got to be some kind of stirrings of conscience in him somewhere to find some legal avenue to get that case back in his court and either send it back for a new trial, have it overturned, or give this guy clemency for time he's already served. Something. But this is just a mess.
Yeah. And the judge, if he has any moments of regret, is probably dulled by the drugs he has to take to go to sleep, you know, all the pain, the sleeping pills and things like that. I wouldn't doubt that
one. I'm just so disgusted. You know, I got to admit, man, like Sally on American Statesman says, I love my country, but I'm scared. It's my government I fear.
Mm-hmm.
yep. government now is just become utterly ruthless and heedless of the basic rule of law. It's, for them, it's all about enforcing power and mandates upon us, I think. It's my opinion now. It's not about what the law says or maintaining civil order and all that, which is what we all think the law is intended to do. It's an exercise in arbitrary power.
Well, you know, it brings back that old quote by Ronald Reagan about the biggest lie from for government is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
I'm here to help. Yeah, but now I'm here from the government and I'm going to destroy you no matter what your rights are.
Especially if you don't. Especially if you don't agree with me.
Man, this insurrection thing, man, it's like holy writ to them that it was worse than Pearl Harbor and 9/11 combined. Do you realize that they did a survey? Let's see. The General Accounting Office did a survey of the events at Lafayette Park in D.C. Remember when they had that demonstration there?
Yeah.
And the Capitol Police, of course, did a report on how many officers were injured during the January 6th, quote, insurrection, unquote. And according to the Capitol Police, about 110 officers sustained some form of injuries during the insurrection. And according to the General Accounting Office, 140 law enforcement officers that were involved in the Lafayette Park demonstrations sustained some sign of injuries. But yet still, they downplayed all the things that Antifa and BLM were doing in Lafayette Park. And they just played up to high heaven, the insurrection on January 6th, by a relatively small percentage of the protesters there that day.
Yep. And then of course, Liz Cheney.
Oh, what a liar. The woman is a liar. She ought to be exiled.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm glad that she's no longer part of Congress.
She's a part of Congress with all those who have Trump derangement syndrome and want somebody to keep the pot stirred.
Yeah.
She's still got influence, though. Not many people in Congress, but she still has influence because she is an avatar of that old GOP establishment of globalism and endless wars.
Yeah, and I remember that one.
Yep. Yeah, Liz Cheney and the idiot soy boy, Adam Kissinger. Oh, man, this disgrace. The whole thing, January 6th committee was a sham from the beginning. They talk about insurrectionists. Benny Thompson, the chairman of the committee, was a spokesman for Republic of New Africa, which is trying to create an African nation within the United States out of several southern states. And he was the spokesman. They were talking about seceding from the United States after they got a hold of all this territory. And their spokesman was Benny Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
God, I can't stand these people. I just can't stand them.
And then, of course, there's Adam Schiff.
I mean, listening to their platitudes and their over the top statements and their lack of self awareness, it is just maddening to listen to, just maddening.
And it's really hard to find anything that on this what happened unless you, because if you look at CNN, there's nothing there. If you look at MSNBC, there's nothing there. So I've had to go to like One America News and Newsmax to find anything. And yes. Western Journal, too.
Well, the only thing they cover on with regard to January 6th, of course, other than parroting the demon rat's lies, the only thing they refer to it is attacking people who question the government's accounting of things. That's the only time they cover it. Like Tucker Carlson, they're not covering the substance of what he says. They're covering Mitch McConnell and Chucky Smucky Schumer's attacks on them. And neither man is saying anything that on the video is either altered, edited, or not revealing prima facie what it purports to show, or what it seems to show. This is saying it shouldn't have been revealed. Can you imagine that? What kind of journalist is ever worth his salt is ever going to say information shouldn't be revealed? Now, I can understand wanting to keep the preparation for Operation Overlord secret. Okay, I get it. Yeah, we don't want that revealed until it's over. Okay,
yeah.
And troops are safe to shore and moving inland. I get that. This doesn't warrant that.
No, it really doesn't. But it, you know, one of the things that I got a kick out of with it though was when that the left was trying to get the information from that reporter in Congress, he wouldn't give it, and it, you could just see it in her face. She was just at wit's end. She had no clue what to do, and she just kept pushing. Until finally Jim Jordan got in there and tried to shut her up.
These people are completely out of their depth. They're completely out of, they have no talent. They have no skills to speak of. They have heads full of bumper sticker slogans and indoctrinated phrases that they learned in college and in their political groomings. They don't know a thing about anything. They can't change a tire. They probably can't even drive a stick shift car. They don't know anything about anything. I mean, they're absolutely clueless about how everything works other than what's woke.
Well, they probably couldn't drive a car anymore either because they always have somebody else doing it for them.
Oh, man, whatever it is, you know, we don't need them governing us, that's for sure.
I totally agree. This is getting, I don't know, it's, I look at this whole what's going on now, and it's really scary to think of if we're going to pull out of this or not as a country, because they're just doing everything they can to destroy our laws and orders and the police and Republicans, because we disagree with them. Anything that disagrees with them, they want to get rid of.
Well, I think that the only solution is what Margaret Taylor Greene was hinting at, and that is federalism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to live in a state that's governed like Massachusetts or Illinois or New Jersey or California.
Or New Mexico.
I don't live in a state like that. I would let me live in a state that governs according to the Constitution and the kind of values I think are important for a civil society. And,
mm-hmm.
and not every the union is like California or wants to be.
Yeah, and I'm glad for that.
Thank God. I mean, I left Illinois. And I put my life on the line to live in Illinois for 23 years. And, you know, and I don't live there anymore. That's why I got out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know my wife wants to leave here in New Mexico because of the way they do things here. But one of the reasons why I want to stay is because I want to try and be a voice to to the people to let them know just what the hell is going on here and why it is wrong to follow what's going on with Biden's America. And our governor is following that just right straight down like she's on a railroad track to hell. She's just right on there, and she won't stop. She won't slow down. She's like full speed ahead. And there are a few of us here in the state that constantly always talk against her and what she's doing and why she needs to be stopped. And, you know, I feel my way of thinking about it is if I move away, then that's one less voice she has to contend with. Even though I'm not much of a voice right now, I'm still out here.
Who is your governor again?
Michelle Lujan Grisham. I call her the Wicked Witch of the North.
Oh, my sympathies. Yeah, my sympathies. Where do we get all these Gretchen Whitmer clones and Kathy Hochul? There are elements of Kathy Hochul and Gretchen Whitmer and all these governors, it seems, except for Kristi Noem and what's this other woman in Iowa? I forget her name.
Oh
man, I mean, it's like they're all duplicates. Well, they got a factory where they stamp them out? Katie Hobbs?
Yeah, Katie Hobbs. Ooh. I don't know. It's like we used to, we had a senator who was down in the southern part of New Mexico, Yvette Harrell. And she was a good voice for conservatism and for following the laws. And what they did here in New Mexico was her part of the country, of the state, was the southeastern part. It was all conservative. She had no problems keeping her job there. But what the governor and the others, Democrats here in New Mexico, did was they added to her her section of the state and raised it all the way up to southern part of Albuquerque. Well, everything they added in was Democrat, and she lost her position because of that.
Well,
which was kind of sad, you know. And the thing that was funny about it was that she didn't lose by that much.
Yeah, well, given the lack of election integrity these days, I'm prepared to question almost every election until we have meaningful election integrity again, something where we can just have the normal level of corruption we come to expect in almost every election, and nothing exceeding that.
Yeah,
I think we've got a long way to go to get back to that level.
Oh, absolutely. Especially after, you know, Trump had us going in the right direction, and they went and got rid of him and reversed everything that he had done.
Well, oddly enough, they're reinstating some aspects of the Remain in Mexico policy because it's such a disaster, everyone's talking about it now. So of course they want to get rid of everything he did. But some things were just so obviously successful in comparison to what we see now that they've got to revisit some of it again.
Well, there was a thing that just came in on my phone that was breaking news. It says Maricopa County reportedly received a $38 million payout from the CDC just 3 weeks after the 2020 election.
How much is that again?
$38 million.
$13 billion?
$38 million, yeah.
Oh, $38 million. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know.
Fancy
for,
that.
For, yeah, for, I don't know. It's everything that used to be right with this country is now being so destroyed by the left, and too many don't even see it.
Well, like I said, when you were raised all of your life with Captain Planet and America's a fundamentally racist country, and, you know, like you're, say, a millennial or a Generation Xer, and now you're getting to the point where you're prepared to assume the levers of authority, control, and power, this is what we're getting. We're witnessing the culmination of all this distorted, warped education that is steeped in neo-Marxism. And we're witnessing the results all around us every day.
Yeah, and the problem is we were warned all about this years ago.
Oh, everybody was hooted down. It's like that with everything. You get hooted down when you start to show the stuff coming. And
mm-hmm.
now the way they do it now, they used to call you an extremist. Now they call you a conspiracy theorist. Until the conspiracy theorists like the Wuhan lab leak no longer looks like conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Looks like facts.
Yeah, and I did a...
Now, what Dr. Field said about Dr. Fauci and his interactions with people at NIH.
Yeah, I played several audio clips of him talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, and now we've got claims that, speaking of Maricopa County, the Sinaloa cartel is controlling Maricopa County elections with bribes and money laundering.
That I would not doubt.
Yeah, that's what the Gateway Pundit is reporting anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I've been watching here in New Mexico. We've got a whole bunch of stuff just going on that just really defies imagination. Or common sense. They've got one now that where they got a bill to erode election security one hurdle away from becoming law here in New Mexico. And the Democrats' anti-gun bill heads to Governor Lujan Grisham's desk for a signature, and you know darn good well she's going to sign it. And these are just from the past few days. And then the Santa Fe judge, and I talked about this on my Thursday update that I did yesterday, about a Santa Fe judge that releases an alleged pedophile before the trial. And
well,
he was a teacher at a Catholic school. And kids in the school, in the class saw him doing what he's doing, but he's now out of jail. Trial hasn't hit yet, but he's out of jail.
Well, there's inklings of hope these days that are coming through. Mere inklings, mind you, but more than what we have been used to been seeing over the last few decades. Did you hear about this letter of apology from feminist Naomi Wolf? And she titles this apology she wrote in Human Events, "Dear Conservatives, I'm sorry I believe so many media lies." And this is what she says. Now get this. "Conservatives, and to those who put America first everywhere, it's tempting to sweep this confrontation with my own gullibility under the rug, to move on without ever acknowledging that I was duped, and that as a result I made mistakes in judgment, and that these mistakes, multiplied by the tens of thousands and millions on the part of people just like me, hurt millions of other people like you all in existential ways, but that erasure in personal and public history would be wrong. I owe you a full-throated apology. I believed a farragio of lies, and as a result of these lies and my credulity and the credulity of people similarly situated to me, many conservatives' reputations are being tarnished on false bases. The proximate cause of this letter of apology is the airing, 2 nights ago, of excerpts from tens of thousands of hours of security camera footage from the United States Capitol taken on January 6, 2021. The footage was released by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to Fox News commentator Tucker Carlson." And it goes on. And she goes on with mea culpa after mea culpa after mea culpa. Now, this woman is a fairly radical feminist. This is encouraging.
Yeah, it really is. And we're seeing more and more of that all the time, even though it's just kind of a slow trickle. And a lot of people are not even noticing it. But when you're watching what's going on and then you see this come out and you say, wow, that is cool.
Yeah, well, I tell you, Naomi Wolf writes a very rational and reasoned article. And I've seen her. Tucker Carlson has been interviewing a couple times on his show. I think people like her are starting to come around. Because these people, now I realize it took a lot, because these people are so full-throated insane, you got to wonder why it took any time at all. But at least in some respects it's starting to occur. I mean, they are just full-throated, all howling at the moon, lunatic, crazy, nutty.
Yep. And that's the one thing that I I'm noticing this. You know, it used to be that if you ever saw anything like this, it would be like maybe once every 2 years. And I've already seen it like several times the last 6 months. So it's picking up steam, it seems. And it is encouraging.
Well, the one thing I think the people on our side have to do and be is to not be afraid of these people anymore. We need to speak our minds as long as you're speaking in good faith and based upon the best information and understanding that you have. And no matter what they say about racism or misogyny or transphobia or any other crazy, stupid nonsense they spew, just stick to your guns and stick to the facts and poke holes in their lunatic, irrational arguments.
And whatever you say, always try and make keep common sense in what you're talking about, you know, because eventually that'll get through, I think.
Well, again, we got a fog we got to be working with. Remember, it's the educational system.
Yeah.
And the media And because they got the high ground in that respect. They got the high ground in the media, the popular culture, and the educational system. And that's a very big hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, and that's something I've been telling, you know, a lot of people who – I've had a lot of people ask me, well, what can you do? Get involved. that to me was always my go-to answer, get involved.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, yesterday I watched a really extraordinary movie that I had never seen before, but I finally got around to seeing it. I always heard good things about it. It's an old movie, came out about over 55 years ago. But mm-hmm. It's a great movie. A Man for All Seasons with Paul Scofield and Robert Shaw.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's a treat for you to watch. It's so intelligently written. The dialogue is absolutely fantastic. The acting is superb. And it tells the story of a man with honor and integrity who stood up in the face of tyrants.
I'm going to have to watch that.
And you can get it on Turner Classic Movies or probably somewhere on the internet and streaming. It's a treat. I mean, it's just such an intelligently written, scripted, and marvelously acted movie. When they really made movies that really had a real message. And this movie had a powerful message. A man whose religious faith was everything to him, and he would not dishonor it by telling a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That he believed
to be a
lie.
That's one of the things I do have on my TV is the Turner Classic Movies. I might be able to see that.
Well, you ought to yourself to see it because we need people like that today. He resigned his lord. The actual man, Thomas More, resigned as Lord Chancellor of England because he couldn't bear what Henry VIII did by proclaiming himself to be head of the Church of England.
Mm-hmm.
And among other things, this led to his persecution by King Henry and others who wanted him to toe the party line, and they eventually wound up trumping up charges against him that led to his execution, and he could have gotten himself out of it at any time. By just kowtowing to the party line. And he refused to do so. And as a result, he paid for it with his head. But he went to his death believing in his principles and staying true to his religion.
Yeah, and that sounds like a really good movie. I'm going to have to watch that.
It's a great movie. I mean, you will not be disappointed. There's no violence or action. It's all dialogue. But it crackles.
That's cool. I'm going to have to watch that.
Knuckles, man, and it's back and forth, and it's just, man, it's a first-rate movie. I believe it got 6 Academy Awards, a whole bunch of nominations, and at least 3. I forget how many, but I know it got Best Picture. Bill got Best Actor, and Robert Shaw got Best Supporting Actor as King Henry VIII.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that. I know I get Turner Classic Movies on my TV because, I've got a whole list of channels that are already loaded in, and they're I get them off the internet. So it's something that I should be able to find because I bet you they'll have it on there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, would that a lot of our politicians would look at movies like this and be inspired by it to the good.
Well, you can always
they could learn something from a real statesman who gave his life for principle.
Yeah, it's not something that you can expect too many of the Democrats to even think about, but maybe a few of the Republicans might.
That might be a forlorn hope, man, because for a lot of these guys, just staying in power, staying in office is all that matters, even if it's in a secondary role to the Democrats. They'd rather be a fish in a small pond than to run the pond.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you called tonight because you added some stuff onto that thing about Charles Lee that I didn't even know. It was stuff that wasn't even in the article that I was reading. And I got that from Western Journal. So
you can go to the video I was speaking of when he was speaking outside the building with the megaphone on Rumble. Uh-huh. Rumble's...
Oh, okay. I've put my videos on Rumble, so that so I can get in there and check that one out because that'll be interesting. I got to find that.
Now, come to think of it, I think I can post a link in your chat room to it if you wish to see it.
Sure. Yeah, I'd like that.
Okay, hold on. Here it is. I got it right in front of me. I'm copying the HTML address.
Oh, boy.
And let me put it in there right now. Here you go. And voila, you have it right there.
Yay, I got it. Now I'm going to copy that sucker, and I'm going to get in there and
Watch and listen to what Jacob says. There is no way you can say anything in that address. It has anything to do with reconciliation. It's got to do with behaving yourself and leaving the Capitol in accordance with President Trump's wishes.
Yeah, and President Trump did say peacefully demonstrate. He didn't say go in and riot and everything else.
They showed the address where he was on TV telling the rioters to go home and disperse.
Yeah.
That's all well, there in that video.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go and see that. As soon as I get off of here, I'm going to go and look at that and maybe just add it to my...
Spread the word far and wide once you see it. Everybody you know.
I sure will. I absolutely will.
They got an innocent man on trumped up charges, a patriot and a Navy veteran in jail for something he didn't do. And they knew he didn't do it.
And it's because he's a veteran that, that probably one of the reasons why they got him that way is that, because they want to get rid of them too, so.
Yeah, they don't like veterans, man, who are really awake and not woke.
Yeah. Absolutely. They've got the military to start being woke, but a lot of your veterans are not. They're awake. They know what's going on.
I tell you, this one damn show is.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that. As soon as I get off of here, I'm going to go to Rumble and check that one out and maybe even record it onto an audio clip for next week or something or use it on one of my updates for the week.
Yeah, you should. And there's also the audio. You've probably seen the audio where he tries to lead the people in the Senate chamber in a prayer for the Capitol Police.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, well, that's Tucker Carlson showed that one on his show on Tuesday, I believe. I believe it was on Tuesday. Yeah.
Now, that's easy enough to find. He's on Rumble, too, so.
Yeah, Chance Lee was leading a prayer. He was prayer for the Capitol Police and that everybody remained peaceful and orderly. This guy didn't do anything they did that he made that horrid plea bargain for. He was intimidated because they probably told him, we're going to put you away for 10 or 15 years for insurrectionist activity. That's probably what they were threatening him with. And this toady lawyer might have been colluding with the Justice Department for all we know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got that written down now, and that's something else I'm going to look for.
Yep.
I really enjoy it when you call because I get all kinds of great information.
Well, we have an obligation to inform each other of what we know, especially in these times. Because as George Orwell said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Yeah, you weren't around earlier in the show when I read a thing that I found that really described Joe Biden, and it was talked. Let me see if I can get it enlarged here so I can see what the heck it says. But it was by Fyodor Dostoevsky or something like that, and what he said. Just to me, all I could think of was Clinton, was Biden.
You mean Dostoevsky?
Yeah, Dostoevsky. Mm-hmm. And okay. he said, a man who lies to himself and believes his own lies becomes unable to recognize the truth either in himself or in anyone else, and he ends up losing respect for himself and for others. When he has no respect for anyone, he can no longer love, and in order to divert himself, having no love in him, he yields to his impulses, indulges in the lowest forms of pleasure, and behaves in the end like an animal. And it all comes from lying to others and to yourself.
Yep. The great writers like Dostoevsky had an innate understanding of human nature, and that's why they can write things like that.
Yeah. And I found that my wife actually found that, and she gave it to me, and I put it on my computer so I could read it at the beginning of the show, which I did. And it you know, if people would just use some common sense, they would realize what's going on.
Well, that's in short supply these days, because remember, these days, who is really a Supreme Court justice cannot define what a woman is. So you got to expect that common sense is kind of in short supply.
Yeah, or almost extinct in those people.
And the Senate voted for her to be on the Supreme Court, and she can't define what a woman is, and what's going to come before her court are issues relating to, guess what, women.
Yeah.
Common sense is definitely in short supply today.
Yeah, it's absolutely the truth. I don't know, but I'm really glad you called, because this made this show a lot better.
No, well, I've enjoyed the call. I enjoyed speaking to you. You're a gentleman and a scholar, sir, and it's always good to talk to people who, you know, have honest interlocutions. That is great.
Yeah, and I always listen to you when you call on Vince's show, too, so.
Oh, that's my pal, man. We had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, I listen to... Usually his show comes on when I'm going to church, because on Saturdays I have to I go to church and I'm part of the video team. So a lot of the times I'm running camera at the time his show is on. So I can't be there a lot of that time. So I have to come back in and listen to it afterwards. And so I always get a kick out of you guys. And
yeah, well, you got to realize, though, our job is pretty easy, man, if you think about it. We got such a target-rich environment. All we got to do is let rounds go in any direction. We're going to hit something.
Yep.
Because it's so crazy today, man. We are literally living in it's like we went down the rabbit hole, and we found this crazy, crazy quilt universe right underneath our feet.
Yep.
Man.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it used to be that I started thinking about this the other day. I did two 3-hour shows a couple weeks ago, and I had absolutely no problem doing it. But I can remember when I first started this in 2006 or 2007, something like that, I could do a 2-hour show. It was easy to do. But once I started hitting into that third hour, I started running out of stuff to talk about. I don't anymore.
What do those comedians say? The jokes just write themselves. They just do.
And they're writing themselves now. It's like you can be doing a show and breaking news comes in constantly now. It's like I never run out of stuff to say.
Never. Man, this clown car show of a administration we got is an endless source of fodder. Endless.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody opened the doors of a clown car and they're still pouring out days later.
Yep. And, you know, and if a farmer put out that much fertilizer, he'd have a crop that would be amazing.
Good Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, then again, I shouldn't say that because, you know, that might get me canceled. So maybe good Mother Gaia. Good Mother Gaia. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you called. I'm going to go ahead and close down the show now, but... I'm glad that you called. And God bless you. And keep up the good work, man.
Well, thank you very much. And I think you could be rest assured that if you will allow me, I will call in again.
Oh, you can call anytime. You're always welcome.
Okay, you take care now. Good talking to you.
Okay, and God bless you.
Good work yourself.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Okay. We are at the end of the show now, and there's a lot of things that we discussed. I put in the chat room the address that Sarge put on for Rumble. I'm going to go to that because it's a video that was banned by Fox News, and I'm going to go ahead and record that and use it for a audio clip, or even if I can get the video of it, I can use it on one of my updates for this coming week. And I've got my updates on Rumble and BitChute, Brightian and UGEtube, and they're under the name of NWCR's Removing the Liberal Blindfold, if you want to look them up. And sometime this next week, Monday through Friday, Thursday, when I do my updates, I'm going to try and get that in there and so that you people can see it. And I can maybe get a few more people seeing what actually happened on January 6th instead of what the Liz Cheney's and the rest of these liberal morons like Adam Schiff and all these other people were trying to tell us happened, which really didn't. And it's coming out now. Tucker Carlson put out this video of this man who has now been convicted to almost 4 years in prison for a violent insurrection, showed him being led into the Capitol, the Senate chambers, being led in by the Capitol Police. And they stayed with him the whole time he was in there. He was carrying an American flag. But the Democrats are saying that he was causing an insurrection. He had come in illegally. He was not, he was a rioter. He was, no, he wasn't. And he doesn't deserve to be in jail right now. And it's like Sarge said, the judge who gave him that sentence is a moron, should not be wearing judge's robes. He should not be sitting behind the bench. It used to be that judges had an honor to them. And the ones that Trump tried to put in do. But all these other ones, like this last one that Sarge was talking about, and I can't even think of her name, and it doesn't really matter because I don't want to remember her name. But the one who could not even tell you what a woman was, she's now a Supreme Court justice. That statement right there saying that she could not tell you what a woman was because she wasn't a biologist. Well, a four-year-old could tell you what a woman is. And if she can't, she doesn't deserve to be sitting on that bench, period. And this judge that handed down this four-year sentence to this man who was led into the Senate chambers and walked around peacefully with all these Capitol Police around him and did nothing but walk with an American flag, is now in jail because a judge decided he was an insurrectionist. Oh, my God. This nation is going to hell in a handbasket, and we had better stop this before we lose what our founding fathers gave us. God bless you all. God bless our troops, and I'll see you again this next week, Monday through Thursday, with my NWCR's Removing the Liberal Blindfold, which is on Rumble, BitChute, Brightian, and UGEtube, and then next Friday, my show here on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you all. Tomorrow night will be Vincent Brown with his Black by Color Only, and if I can get him back, Sunday will be American by Design with our own Uncle Bing Fisher. So I'll talk to you later. Have a good weekend. God bless you all. God bless America. And I'll see you next week. God bless you all.